Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Taco Tuesday, PGA DFS podcast, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week, we'll be staying in Texas for one more week before the Masters for the Valero Texas Open. It used to be a few weeks after the Masters. This event has changed places with the Shell Houston Open, which was always the event before Augusta, and the course was set up very similar to Augusta. It's not the case anymore. I guess it's going to the Houston Open's going to the swing season or something. It's part of the new schedule changes. So we'll be covering the Valero Texas Open in this week's podcast. Before I begin breaking down this course, TPC San Antonio, I got to remind you guys that DFSArmy.com. Sign up today using promo code TACO, using that link in the description, for a lifetime 20% off. You get access to all of our premium DFS offerings for every daily fantasy sport. Got baseball, getting ready to start here. Start the season off real strong. NBA, finishing that season off strong, headed to the playoffs here soon. NASCAR in full swing. Even soccer. You name it, we cover it at DFSArmy.com. So if you like what you hear on the podcast and want to support the podcast and get access to the research station, which I'll be referencing throughout this podcast, and of course our domination station lineup optimizer that's recently been updated can now handle 300 lineups at a time, along with having an overlay of your exposures compared to projected ownership percentage. The domination station update was really nice. It just makes it really easy to adjust your exposures just from the output after you run your lineups. It makes it so much easier to crunch repeatedly until you've got it just the mix that you want for your lineups. And of course, that comes with your subscription to DFSArmy.com. Get access to our coaching channels and, of course, our VIP articles and research stations for each sport. And, of course, the Domination Station lineup optimizer. So DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. Let's dive right into the slate here, the Valero Texas Open. This is one of the more memorable courses for me, as long as I've been doing this PGA DFS adventure since 2015. This was, I remember the 2015 iteration of this contest very well. It was the first tournament to really kick everyone's ass and to, it really, really establish that you've got to watch out for weather. And in 2015, what happened basically was the entire AM wave in round one just got obliterated by 30 plus mile an hour gusts. You had over 30 people shoot 80 or worse. You had a record number of withdrawals. You had 8 people withdraw, mostly after the first round or in the middle of that first round. So there could have been even more guys that shot over 80. It was a disaster. And honestly, it's probably one of Matt Kuchar's best performances, in my opinion. I know that last week he almost won the dang match play. And he's got a few wins this year, but just hear me out here. So Matt Kuchar at this event here in 2015, he started in that AM wave with all the wind that was completely destroying everybody. And he was first round leader. Yeah, as insane as it sounds, he was, yeah, he teed off right with all of the guys that were just getting blown away. And we had some guys like Sam Burns missed the cut. He was 22 over after two rounds. This sort of stuff just happens. And it didn't really matter for Kuchar. The low ball flight of his and just his accuracy and consistency had him really put up one of the best rounds that I've ever seen. So it's not the only thing that's weird that's happened at this course. Heck, even at that event, history was made. One of my favorite things I've ever witnessed live at a PGA Tour event is Aaron Baddeley on hole 17. It's a 336-yard par 4, and he had the longest recorded hole out ever in the history of the PGA Tour, ever since the Shotlink era, with a 336-yard hole out for what should have been a hole-in-one on that par 4, but his first tee shot actually went out of bounds, so he hit a 336-yard tee shot for a birdie. And definitely one of the most interesting holes to ever be played on the PGA Tour, but it might not even be the most interesting hole to be played on a par 4 at this course. I think it was hole 9? Hole 9, where Kevin Na in 2011 shot a 16, the worst ever score on a par 4, just completely melted down, was in contention, and is actually one of the harder par 4s on tour for its given distance and all that. You know, some of these holes are hard. You know that the hole that Aaron Baddeley birdied out at, that's actually one of the easier par 4s on the PGA Tour. But for the most part, this is a harder course. It's a 7,400-yard par 72. So it's long and, kind of unforgiving. You really need to have a good short game here. When I ran correlations between season-long stat averages and fantasy point performances at Valero, going back to 2012, comparing it to all the other courses, I found that strokes gained approach actually matters significantly less here than at most courses. It's still the stat that matters and correlates the most, because it's pretty much that stat at every single course. But strokes gained around the green and strokes gained putting actually came in. Strokes gained off the tee. But those came in at almost exact similar correlations to strokes gained approach. And usually strokes gained approach has the best correlation with success at a course. So it's very interesting to see that. And putting, especially at this course, it ranks 7th out of 41 courses in a strokes gained putting correlation with fantasy point scoring. And we have seen a lot of good putters do well here before. You've got guys like Charlie Hoffman, who are course horses, a few different course horses here that really get things done through the putter. Billy Horschel's one of those as well. Spieth, back 2015 and before, he had some really good finishes here. And that was back when he was putting just insane. Jimmy Walker, another course horse, and he's always been known to be long off the tee with a great driver. That had always been his MO. So, you can see a lot of the course history guys here have something in common, and not all of them, most of them. Like you see, Chris Kirk has really good history here, but he can't putt for crap. But he's more of a driving accuracy sort of guy. But when running the correlations, actually, there was zero correlation between season-long driving accuracy percentage and fantasy point scoring. There was some for driving distance. Driving distance will matter a little bit. Accuracy does not seem to matter as far as fantasy point scoring goes. Oftentimes having a longer driving distance kind of does correlate with fantasy point scoring in general. But, this is one of the worst courses as far as that. Some courses it actually has a negative correlation with success, but this one's just absolutely no factor, pretty much. So, like, if you're running the stat cruncher, I'd just leave that a zero. driving accuracy. I guess it's okay to look at. I mean, you really don't want to be in the rough here, but yeah, this event really seems to lend itself more to the short game. Surprising to see, you know, things like strokes gained around the green and putting coming in at a similar rate as approach, which we don't see very often at all. So, you know, for once, we're not just going to mainly be focusing on the strokes gained approach guys, which, you know, is usually our approach when it comes to these sort of things. But another thing I wanted to point out, we didn't get any shot link data or anything last week, even though we had two events played. It's really hard to even, like, calculate form and hole stats from the match play, just because, first of all the data is not really out there. They don't put shot link data or anything out for that, and even so, with things like holes conceded, it's just a mess. It's just one of those weeks where you're gonna have to remember pretty much who did well and what happened, because statistically the numbers, the data is just not available. And the same goes for the Corrales Punta Canas. Basic stats are available from that, you know, hole by hole stats, field rank stats, we got those, but stroke gain stats not on the menu this year for the Corrales Punta Canas that Graham McDowell took home. And yeah, it's one thing I do notice is last week the match play course, the hole layout there was almost exactly identical to the hole layout at this course. Has the exact same number of, you know, short and long par threes, par fours, exact same numbers. The only difference is last week we had three short par fives and one long par five. This week we have two short par fives and two long par fives. Other than that, it's the exact same. We've got four long par threes. I've kind of seen that over a few of our recent courses. So that's going to be a split to look at here. Long par 3 scoring, short par 3 scoring, there are none, so you can kind of throw them out the window. Par 4 scoring, you've got the two sub 400 par 4s, and both of them are somewhat drivable. They're downhill. The one's just really short. The other one is downhill and downwind. So some really good scoring opportunities there, but four medium length par 4s and four long par 4s. It's other than, you know, not having any short par threes, it's kind of a good mix of different hole types, especially with having the two short and long par fives. I gotta basically just have a pretty well-rounded game. You know, the fantasy scoring numbers really mostly lending itself to just guys with good overall splits. Maybe you can be bad at short par threes and get by just fine with that. But for the most part, you know, just a good, solid overall par 4 and par 5 scoring, along with the long par 3 scoring. What you're going to be looking for as far as the projected fantasy scoring per round and stuff. The field is weaker, significantly weaker. You know, we've got Ricky Fowler at 10-1 at $11,700. Not the greatest value there. Don't think that expensive guys will be hammered as much as if they were some actual, like, super studs in this field. I mean, the highest salaried guys are Fowler, Kuchar, Finau, and Spieth, and Sung J.M. So the field is quite weak. Not like Corrales Punta Canas or Puerto Rico week, but Pebble Beach week, Desert Classic week, you know, even Valspar week, like Wyndham Championship sort of week. And, you know, as far as other stats we're looking at, I do want to point out another change in the research station. Always kind of changing this thing around, but with our basic stats, made cut percentage, driving distance and accuracy, greens regulation percentage, birdie or better gained, fantasy points gained in double bogeys or worse. Those stats, I've just split them up into recent and long-term. Long-term is just looking over the last year or so. Recent form is just looking over the last several months. So you can get a little bit of a taste of, you know, who's been doing a little better recently than in long-term with, you know, a lot of your stats, like, it was just really nice to be able to sort of look at that, and just know, you know, who's been improving a little bit recently as far as that goes. We've got, you know, still got our more in-depth, you know, field rank splits and stuff, and the strokes gained categories as well that, you know, we have split into last 10, 25, and 50 rounds. So you should be able to see, along with, like, recent form and course history and stuff, you know, there's a lot more pieces to the puzzle, try to make them as clear as possible, especially if guys have been performing, you know, better recently than over the last year or so. Some guys just have really poor form, but it's from like 7 or 8 months ago, so it's kind of crucial to know, you know, who's hot right now compared to just who's been hot before. So yeah, it's just something you can look at the research station that you can access at dfsarmy.com. Promo code TACO. Bam. So diving into this field, Ricky Fowler, number one at $10,700, $12,500 on FanDuel. Yeah, he's the class of this field at 10-1. The other guys, Finau and Kuchar, at about 15-1. So he's a favorite, but you know, when you get a guy that's almost 12K on DK, you want them to be 5-1, 6-1. You really don't want them to be 10-1. I mean, Fowler rates out decently for a top tier guy, you know, probably the most consistent as far as not consistent, but he's very maybe somewhat consistent with like his finishes. He can kind of be all over the place with like his stroke scanned approach is kind of very, very, you know, it lacks consistency. It's sort of up and down all over the place. Recently it's been up, but you know, we've seen that spike all around. We know he's a very good putter. One of the best putters there is on tour. He ranks third in fantasy point scoring per round projected and second in projected round score just based on the hole types. Second to Tony Finau in that, who I think is going to be the most popular of these three up top, definitely. Ricky Fowler, you know, he's up there in price. Hasn't played this course before, ever. First time he's ever seen TPC San Antonio. It's just no other studs really showed up. This is the week that most people take off before the Masters. We don't even see Phil Mickelson in the field, which is shocking to me because he always destroys the week before Masters, but or the week before any major, actually. That's a trend I've really noticed with Phil. He always does great the week before a major, but skipped it, you know. Probably going to show up to Houston whenever they have that, but yeah, not playing the Texas Open. And, you know, a few other guys like I think Stenson and Spieth last year in this spot at the Houston Open, they'd both gotten over some, you know, really, really rough form, put up some really solid finishes there. You know, we don't have Stenson in the field this week. He's taken a much deserved break after some slightly improved play recently. Didn't do bad at the match play last week, but Jordan Spieth, fourth on the board there. Should be really interesting to see what happens with him. Hasn't played the course in over three years. And his form is just abysmal right now, but maybe you can, you know, treat this spot as a bounce back because the Masters is next week, and when it's the Masters, you've got to seriously consider Jordan Spieth, no matter what form he's in, because he just absolutely destroys the course. So I could see Spieth getting back in form here. I really can. It just feels right, but woo, he has not been good at all, you know. 92nd at the Players, missing the cut there. He finished near the bottom of the field there, finishing 54th out of 71 golfers. Just not good stuff. He's not had a good finish since, I mean, you have to go all the way back to maybe, I guess, the Dell Technologies Championship in the playoffs last year. He came 12th out of 96 guys. It's just been a super, super rough stretch of time for Jordan Spieth. So, yeah, I know I need to go back and talk about Kuchar and Finau here, but just wanted to touch on Spieth here. This might be the first spot I attempt to sort of maybe use him just because it feels right, but I don't know. It's just really hard to even touch the guy right now. It does rate out half decently in fantasy points per round, sixth in that category, but it's just his accuracy is so poor right now. He's double bogeying a lot. It's something that he's really had an issue with recently. You could say the same about Fowler. They both kind of birdie a lot and then cough it back. It's just, I don't know. It's just Spieth's form. You know, over the last 25 weeks, his field rank 48%. That is under average for Mr. Jordan Spieth. Quite a big fall there. But you know, he does have a 72% field rank in weak fields, I guess. So it's the one spot where he can kind of put up decent performances. But yeah, it's, I don't know what to make of Spieth. It's just a big head scratcher how, you know, a guy can fall from glory like that, but it's not something totally new. You know, we've seen this with a few guys before in the past. But going back up to Matt Kuchar here. So, you know, he has a pretty good string of made cuts here, but also I have a fourth in 2014, and that 2015 performance I talked about earlier where he ultimately ended up finishing 15th. Hasn't been doing all too hot here lately. His best finish since then is 40th. I mean, he's making the cuts and all, but $11,200 for Matt Kuchar. That is expensive as all could be. I know he almost got his third win in this young season already last week, but it's going to be really, really hard to justify paying so much for Matt Kuchar. You know, it just doesn't feel right. 18th in projected fantasy points per round. Yeah, I know the course really works out for him outside of the long par fives, because he struggles with the shorter par threes, but it's not a big deal. Great on the long par threes, good on the long par fours and short par fives. Top 20 in all of those splits, really top 26 in all the top, all the par four splits, and then the short par fives and long par threes. I do like that for Mr. Kuchar there. It's kind of why I really liked him last week, especially with the additional shorter par threes, because he does struggle with long par threes. Rakes 111th in the field in that, but Mr. Kuchar, Matt Kuchar, public enemy number one right now, after kind of being exposed as not quite the Mr. Nice Guy we all knew him to be, sort of, but I don't really care about any of that, really. As far as, you know, the play goes, he's really overpriced. Over 12,000 on FanDuel, where he's a little bit better of a play, ranks 12th in projected FanDuel points per round, but 18th in projected DraftKings points per round. Yeah, just probably going to be a guy you generally avoid. You have a little bit just in case he really has another awesome performance, but it's just cost way, way too costly here. Tony Finau, not a bad price at all on DraftKings. He's only $100 cheaper than Kuchar on FanDuel, but he's $400 cheaper on DraftKings, where he's $10,800. And he's pretty interesting. He's got slightly better odds than Kuchar here. Third last time he came out here in 2017. He really rates out as a great play overall, because he's got that driving distance, strokes gained off the tee, and then has really, really been putting well recently. The only struggle is over the last 10 rounds, he struggled quite a bit with around the green stuff. That's where his struggle would be. Pretty mediocre in approach, but, you know, don't really mind that as much. You know, Kuchar is almost a stroke gained per round better than Finau, strokes gained approach right now. But just given how the course is, I'm going to, I know that Kuchar still is a very good putter and all that. I know this, but actually over his last 10 shot link rounds, he's lost over a stroke per round putting, which is kind of weird for him. And that could regress easily, but Finau, he rates number one in projected round score and projected fantasy points per round. Looking at that further, is third in medium length par four scoring, sixth in long par four scoring, seventh in short par five scoring, and sixth in long par five scoring. So the dude knows how to score. The course is set up pretty darn well for him. The only place he struggles really is on par threes. He kind of struggles there. He's just mediocre in the field, really, in both splits, though. Just kind of a push there, but his excellence in anything pretty much over 450 yards is really going to help him out here at this long par 72. Just rates out as the number one play here over Fowler. It's kind of interesting. It doesn't project higher than Fowler, but just for the course and the course type with the hole types and all, his skill set just works the best for the types of holes available, and you know, that makes a lot of sense. But of course, Kuchar and Fowler priced up a little higher. They both won recently. Kuchar winning multiple times. Ricky Fowler winning back at the Waste Management. None of these studs here, really, you're going to focus on in cash. Definitely a week to go, a bit more balanced, because Just a better, you know, the plays are kind of sparse this week, but I think that you can get just a better looking lineup if you avoid having to punt too hard. Outside of FanDuel, where there's one punt in particular that I'm sure a lot of people will be gravitating to because the price is just straight up wrong. But we'll get that later in the deep dive, available to our DFS Army Premium members later on this podcast. But you know, for the free portion, just going to go over the 10K and above guys as always. And been talking about Spieth here a little bit. Let's move on to this last guy here. The chalk from last week that really hit for everybody at Corrales. Sungjae Im, $10,100. Thought it'd be a while till he gets here, but I don't think the hype train could be... the hype train can't really be derailed at this point. I know he's had some missed cuts at the Genesis Open, Pebble Beach, the Players, but those are fairly forgivable missed cuts there. The Players, he didn't even miss the cut by very much, and it's the freaking Players. It's pretty darn random tournament. Didn't do that well at Honda either, which is also a really, really random sort of tournament. But yeah, I like where he's been finishing recently. Third, Arnold Palmer. Fourth, the Valspar. Seventh at the Corrales Punta Canas. Seventh at Waste Management, too. 12th at the Desert Classic. And 16th at the Sony Open. He's got a lot of upside there. Definitely GPP only. Does not rate out as the greatest FanDuel play. He's actually quite bad at FanDuel, just in comparison to a DraftKings, just because he bogeys so much. He rates out 91st in projected fantasy or FanDuel fantasy points per round. But on DraftKings, he rates 44th. Very huge discrepancy. The biggest discrepancy of anyone in the entire field. You've got some other guys like Grayson Murray, Sebastian Munoz, Adam Svensson, that also, you know, rate out much higher on DraftKings than FanDuel. But he's definitely by far the number one in that regard. You know, the guys that do better on FanDuel, of course, Jim Furyk, McDowell, Juuse Lauten, Bud Colley, Julian Etulian, really guys that avoid missing cuts and avoid bogeying, you know, because a bogey is a lot more penal on FanDuel. So Sungjae, I'd keep him in GPP. I would not play him in cash. I'm definitely not ready to do that with him yet, but he is definitely someone worth targeting in GPPs. Statistically, you know, not the greatest for the course. I kind of struggles with He struggles with long par threes. He's 138th in the field at long par three scoring, but he's number one at short par five scoring. And he's number one by a pretty significant margin. He averages 2.77 DraftKings points and 2.49 FanDuel points per short par five, and gains 0.18 strokes to the field at those types of holes. And only 73 recorded holes there, too. So it's not like it's a super tiny sample blowing things up. He just absolutely destroys the par five. So good. The shorter par five, especially, just so good at capitalizing on them. Just again, sort of like, it, you know, last week they also had the four short par threes. Or no, the four long par threes also. And I was kind of hesitant with him. But he still ended up having a really good performance, albeit at a very, very weak field. He finished seventh there. But yeah, pretty much, you're playing him in DraftKings GPP, I think is the best way to go with him. It's expensive as could be on FanDuel at 11K. He's the worst at scoring on FanDuel compared to DraftKings. So yeah, definitely throw you in some Sungjae on DraftKings. Just keep in mind that he was like, what, 29% owned or 28% owned last week, so... you know, when a big chalk guy hits like that, people like to sort of parlay that, sort of like how people like to get off the guys that missed the cut after being chalky the week before. You look at Lucas Glover's ownership as an example of that. Every time he misses the cut, his ownership just goes away, and then he comes back with yet another top 15, because he can either miss the cut or come top 15. That's what he does, but... yeah, that'll do it for the free portion of this podcast. Remember, if you want to check out the rest of this podcast and access all of our premium tools, dfsarmy.com, promo code TACO, for that lifetime 20% off discount. Use the link in the description. And I will be right back for you DFS Army VIP members for that deep dive into the field. I'll see you in a second.
Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.